Good evening, insiders. Welcome back to QS Cast. Joining me tonight is Efren. How's it going?
I'm going great. It's been a hell of a ride this week.
It's been one of the crazy weeks I can remember. Crazy week since we casted on what, Sunday?
Yeah.
Or that GOT finale. Or,
and, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so did everybody. it was forgettable. Chris Martin, fellow QS writer, Daffer in the what's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, Chaz?
Yeah, sorry for being late tonight, folks. Had to postpone it. Give the Pacific Coast a chance to listen in. They don't normally do that. So it you know, just a wild ride. But you know, before we get into that, you know, we really wanted to talk about there was an interesting point that Chris and I discussing, and I don't really know. If it's out there, I haven't seen it, so I apologize. I'll give credit. But I believe Modern Horizons is starting to show us that Commander/EDH, whatever you want, might not be just another facet that we acknowledge and say, well, you know, Modern and Standard, these constructed formats can move the needle. Commander obviously can, too. I think we're starting to see that Commander might actually be the in the Magic. I'm really starting to believe that. And it's crazy because this set, the way it was marketed and everything, it truly is living up to its hashtag. Wait, it's not even a joke. Hashtag EDH Horizons. It's really like that. I have not seen and have not remembered a set in recent history, and that's even counting all the supplemental product, the actual Commander products, where Commander might actually just be on the forefront of moving cards going. And it's kind of crazy to say that, but it's true. And we're seeing it right before our very eyes. I mean, we're from the sale reporting thread, from all the hype, from all of these different commanders and this nod to like these five color commanders and this tribal stuff and just stuff that we haven't seen before getting some recognition.
Even the gimmick.
Yeah, even the gimmick stuff.
Right.
It's really leaning towards that direction. So I don't know. It may be a storyline that we're approaching and navigating for the first time. But I'm willing to put Commander in front of even Constructed for moving price needs. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I think if you date back to last year when this all kind of started, I would pin it somewhere around Ixalan or Dominaria. And that's when the sets really became clearly EDH focused, right? But this, like you said, Chaz, I mean, today and yesterday, really, with the slivers and stuff, I mean, it's just been... it's been unbelievable seeing the movement, and in a set called Modern Horizons, it's all been movement tied to people specking or just buying cards to build EDH decks. I mean, we had some insiders in here, including myself and a few others, were brewing EDH decks late last night. So I kind of feel like this was, I told you this before when we were just kind of chatting and prepping, but I feel like we're going to look back and be like, when did that change? When was it like obvious that the shift from, you know, Modern and Standard being the things that drove the needle to EDH, and really maybe I'll restate that and say EDH was just sort of a, you know, a thing in the shadows, so to speak. When did it emerge from those shadows? I think it's going to be Modern Horizons. I think people, that's when it happened. That's when we recognized that, wait a second, EDH is where the biggest chunk of the player base, it's uniform, right? It's the whole player base is so focused on that format and enjoys that format. And it's just extremely powerful. It's a really powerful thing.
I have some follow-up points to that too, but I want Efren. But yeah, those are great points, Chris.
Well, we've been talking about this in the chat all week, where there hasn't really been a single clear card where we've all said, wow, this is the card for Modern, or right, this is, yeah, the card that's, yeah, gonna make a deck viable in Modern. But everyone that's come out has been, wow, Commander, this is awesome in Commander, this is awesome in Commander, every single card that comes out. So I think he's right, Chris was right, I agree with him, where he says this is, they may have been drifting towards this, like with Dominaria, like Guillaume says, obviously with all the legends and the different things in Dominaria, and slowly since then, but this one really does seem like we're making a set geared, and we're going to geared towards, and we're going to appeal to all those Commander players and give them all the things that they've wanted in Commander. Even tribe support for like bears. I mean, who would have thought that we would get bear, tribal, And we were kind of talking about it in chat, like, well, this is not going to stick, but people were moving all the Baron cards already.
I have, and even before me, others have. Folks are moving. I mean, there's been some modern stuff. I mean, I think we can pinpoint at least one. It kind of, maybe a 50-50 split. Maybe it's like 60-40. I believe Urza kind of has that aura around it where fully want it to work. Well, Commander will definitely give him modern Swords of the Meek, Thopter Foundry, all that stuff. But I'm also coming at it, and I mean, chat is on point. You know, there's a lot of smart individuals, a lot of smart folks. They're even kind of saying, well, this trend, yeah, Dominaria is really where this trend started. But I think Modern Horizons, which again is like so crazy to me, because I truly do believe they wanted to push this as a modern defined, like something that can shift modern. And we're just not seeing that. And that's fine, because now we have this like plethora of stuff that is going to vastly change the commander scene, or at least create a lot of movement around it, clearly. So it's been building, and I think Modern Horizons is finally kind of showing us that, you know what, I think Commander, and it's exactly right, because it's a majority of the tabletop, and I think I'm on the point here of, it's going to still remain the majority of paper the more Magic Arena becomes more popular. You know, as folks,
it's a great point.
You know, as more folks are getting into Magic Arena, as more folks are, you know what, maybe I don't really want to go to like or whatever. I mean, not that they'll do that every time, but as more and more folks continue to play Magic Arena, it gets bigger. Commander will define paper. It's the only format where, you know, if you're investing or have any inclination of investing, and I think I've been on that point before where even if they're getting into the Magic Arena side and never paper, you know, it's much easier to invest in Commander where you know, okay, I'm going to buy these paper cards and be able to continue playing them forever as long as Magic is probably even.
I have two thoughts on that, Chaz. I totally agree with you. I think the Arena point is just fantastic. My sentiment on this is twofold. And first, I'm going to talk about what I saw, an interesting tweet that I saw, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, where an Arena player was basically saying how not fun Arena can be when it's only Standard, because what happens is you have, you know, if you're like a casual player who just enjoys going and drafting a little bit or goes and, you know, wants to put together some fun decks, and you go out there and you play and you end up running into Nexus decks or the control decks that are out there, and you're basically like you don't care about your platinum or diamond status, and you're just trying to have a good time, and you run into these decks, it's the release isn't quite there on Arena. And so the call there, the tweet was basically saying add EDH. It was saying add, we need something casual here. We need this casual format. EDH is tough for Arena because it's every single card interaction, right? I mean, right. We see it on Magic Online where there's a lot of glitches because there's so many card interactions. They just can't test all that. But even something like a, you know, like a Brawl or an Oathbreaker, if they could figure that out and work that in to get that casual appeal on Arena, until they do, though, this is the second point, until they can do that, Arena will take that competitive edge for a lot of folks and kind of push that market, you know, further and further down that stream. And to your point, I think EDH is just going to continue to own that paper market because it's where you can come together, you know, to your point about like, I don't really want to drive 40 minutes to go play some like constructed tournament or whatever. I can do that on my computer, but I can't do that with EDH. I can drive 40 minutes. I'm happy to drive 40 minutes to go play with my seven closest friends in my play group, right? Like that's the mindset.
And I think they want to keep
that personally.
Tread very lightly. And I think they know it, but I'll let Efren.
I really think that this, that is an interesting point. And EDH is also so accessible because it's really the only eternal format where if you're a new player and you're going to get into it, you can just go and buy a deck. And the deck will do well, and you can have fun with it and play with your friends. You can go buy a pre-con commander deck, and that gets you in the door. And then you start upgrading it and buying other things, and you never have to worry about them rotating out. So I do really think, and actually, it's interesting because this is something that insiders, at least for me, and I think most of us, the EDH players have been like bread and butter for a few years at least.
Yeah.
Where you can get these cards that are obviously, you know, it used to be, especially in standard sets, you know, four or five cards. Wow, these are going to be EDH cards. You can grab them and grab foils, hang on to them, and then you know just one day that they're going to hit. Like this week, I already had Jota foil sitting around. I had some Fist of Sun sitting around, Day of Destiny sitting around, just for the purpose of an EDH spec. So I think it's really good for us as insiders, to be able to move on this stuff. Also, there's such a huge market for it, especially when even we think that we're memeing ourselves buying bearer cards, and then they start selling within hours. We're able to sell them and make money. It's really incredible.
It really is. And I mean, I've been very transparent. I said before, I mean, I was one of the folks that had their Mythic Edition 3 canceled. I said it very openly and very honestly. I said, I may be part of a group that will do the same. I know some other folks that echoed the sentiment, especially that I will roll that into purchasing Modern Horizons because, you know, I was ready to spend it anyway. I didn't get my Mythic Edition, so roll that into Modern Horizons. And not a single card, like 1 out of 10 cards, has actually been for Modern. I've spent like $600.
I don't even know which card you're talking about. They've all been.
I feel like that ratio is high.
I spent $600, give or take. So I spent even more than I was slated that I was going to spend. And the one card that I even had any remote Modern applications was Sword of the Meat and Thopter. Legitimately, I would have never guessed that going into this, almost all of the money I invested, and for many others too, has been purely for EDH and Commander implications and market. I mean, it's nuts that, and it's crazy too, because, you know, we were this wait and see. I mean, Tarkan was pretty much right in saying that this is not a set for Modern. I mean,
it's kind of unbelievable.
These folks are not buying Bearscape for a new Modern deck. They're just not. Yeah. Like, first of all, Bearscape's not even legal in Modern. And they're just not. Like, no one's buying Sliver Queen for a Modern deck. I mean, Sliver Queen in one day ended up at almost the same price tag as Gaia's Cradle in one day. I mean, it's nuts. People are selling oversized Sliver Queens for $60. It's complete craziness. I've never seen. And my point is correct. War of the Spark was probably one of the more influential sets we'll see, at least so far, and in recent memory, for Constructed. I didn't think Modern Horizons would meet that. It's definitely not going to, but I'll tell you what, it's meeting that expectation for Commander. I mean, it's almost every single card that they release that you can go and find and buy something. They may not all pan out. They may not all pan out immediately, but a lot of it is. It's complete craziness. I've never seen anything quite like this.
Yeah, same.
I've never seen anything quite like this.
We were talking about if we had ever had a set like this.
We've never had a set like this. But it was labeled for Modern, and like no one really knew like kind of what that meant. And then we started seeing some previews. Okay, well, Sarah, they kind of threw that in there. We still have a plan. And they said that like what Cabal Therapist they thought like was a top 10 card that like kind of changed Modern or something like that. Where if that's a top 10 card, we're kind of SO. And I mean, it's really holding true. I just can't believe even the more obscure cards. Ayu was like really cool. You know, Chris and I, you know, Chris, maybe you weren't as legitimately Barrett. You were kind of bearish on it.
But I am blown away at the sale reporting.
I mean, people are just
totally
going all in on this. I've never seen anything quite like this.
When I started seeing the Bearscapes for 40, I had to pick my jaw up off the floor. I couldn't believe that.
I was even like, what?
And you know, before I went to work this morning, before the Eula spoiler came out, I had posted that art in the thing, and I was like, I was on my computer, and I was on TCG Player, I had a bunch of bear specs in my card, and I said, I'm just gonna do it. And then when I got to work, I had total buyer's remorse. I said, what are you doing? Just threw $30 away buying these bear cards, and then boom, everything just
exploded. I remember you said in the chat, you're like, I think I'm gonna cancel. And then you get to work, it pops, and then, you know, it's nuts.
It's really crazy, yeah. It's a great set. I mean, we were talking about maybe it being Iconic Masters too, but it's not. Iconic Masters was not this interesting. It means nothing for Modern, probably, but
we kept comparing this, and before, you know, to our credit, this is new territory. We kept comparing this to a modern master sets. This set literally blows every modern master set out of the water in terms of market movement. I mean, there's not much you can do with reprint. There's really not. There's not a lot of space that you can cover with reprint. These are brand new cards. A lot of them are tailored, obviously, very openly and outwardly tailored. There's a couple. There's maybe like a hand that may see some modern play. But a lot of these cards are openly and pretty obvious. I mean, no one's playing the no, it's no not way. Happening.
Yeah, that was an interesting point, though, that you said they're more influential even than the commander precons. And you're probably right, because we maybe a couple, four or five decent new commander cards in those precons. A lot of the legends people even don't really build around or care about. But this one has really been awesome.
Yeah. I think the commander precons, if I was
there's a comment. This is kind of Battle Bond. I don't even think Battle Bond comes anywhere.
Yeah, I don't either. Good point. So I'll actually throw Battle Bond into what I'm about to say. Battle Bond and the commander sets, those aren't even expansions technically. They're like supplemental, but all of those to me are core to EDH, because what they do is they give you, they're designed to create new space with new legends and new commanders. They're not necessarily going to like change the existing decks. They're going to try to create new decks or opportunities for new decks. Mm-hmm. Whereas what one thing that I think Modern Horizons is doing that I don't think any set has ever done before is it's creating a combination of both. It's think about Dominaria and all the legends, right? And you had all these like cool potential legends you could build decks around, but like none that really stood out, but there was some. And then pair that with, let's say, Battlebond, which had all these cool cards that like upgraded decks. You had some cool commander potential. There was like a little bit of everything for EDH in there. And then take Modern Horizons and look at it like collectively. It's like, okay, I got a bunch of legends. I can build Bear Tribal now. I can build Sliver Tribal again, right? I got all these like cool legends. But then on top of that, you're getting all these other cards that are just going to be phenomenal in EDH in the format itself, to police the format, particularly like those force cards, both the blue and the green one are going to be great. Being able to destroy artifacts, enchantments, counter spells. I mean, not non-creatures obviously, but that's the type of thing that this set is doing. In my opinion, it's literally doing everything for EDH. It's giving you new areas to brew in, and it's adding additional cards to existing brews, which it's just not that's not a common thing in anything they've done before, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's blown me away. I can definitely say that Commander is something that we certainly acknowledge that card price and absolutely affect them. But I think Constructed is taking a backseat.
I agree. I think
we need to start operating and pushing that story as something that, you know, it's still obviously constructed cards are going to matter. Obviously, you still have to have some card evaluation, but I think we really do need to reevaluate that. The commander stuff really does come first. I mean, I was even kind of really just thinking back just now, even in War of the Spark, among all of these cards that have so much influence in constructed, Teferi, Karn, Sarkhan, all this, what was the hype of War of the Spark? Feather. I mean, that was going on for like weeks straight.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like going to vomit every single day. It was like some random obscure instant that was either red or white. And, you know, foils would just completely go berserk.
Yeah. And it was the same thing that we did with Bears today. We're saying you're never going to move that. And then everyone started buying them.
It's nuts. Yeah. It really is. And now the top commander of EDH Rec. Yeah. Because they're moving the needles. They're pushing the space of design. And that's really what people care about. A majority of people only really care about Commander. What's in it? Like, what's in these sets for Commander? It was definitely like that before. But I think going back to my point, and I'm trying not to like start another topic, with the advent of Magic Arena becoming more popular, I think folks really are looking to Commander as their primary way to play paper. And they're going to be investing Commander. Because if you're playing Arena, why would you buy the same cards in paper?
Yeah.
Right? Especially if you can qualify in Magic Arena, like why would you buy the same cards? And then secondly, it's like Chris said, like, and you know, we talked about it. You're going to drive 40 minutes and play a constructed match, or do that at home. But you know, okay, if I drive like 40 minutes, I'm going to have like a few hours of a really good time with, you know, my commander. You know, I could easily drive 40 minutes to my LGS for, you know, PTQ or something. And I'm PPT.
Who knows what they're called now?
Yeah, I don't even know.
They probably something with the word mythic in it.
MCQ.
Yeah, there it is. MCQ, it is with mythic in it.
Well,
I have a question about this.
And you scrub out in like the first two rounds and you're done.
Even yeah, and you got to turn around and drive 40 minutes home. Right, because there's no side event or anything. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting when the first big rotation comes in Arena. Where are all those casuals going to go when they can't play with their cards anymore?
Yeah. Because
that's what chased me away from Standard for good. I went to Commander from Standard and never played Standard again.
Yeah, that's looming too. That's coming. That's going to be sooner than we.
I mean, they could make like super plus, but that I don't think that's.
Yeah. I'm going to just kind of, I'm going to throw the storyline to sum that piece up. Chaz, I think for me, the way I'm looking at this, and I'd love to debate this or discuss it with everyone more as you kind of noodle on it. But the way I look at this is two things with EDH. One, it's the law of large numbers. I think it's become the largest format by far in the Magic community. And I think two is just the breadth of how far it reaches in terms of the card interactions. So, you know, while Modern might spike, like look at Arclight Phoenix, that spiked like one or two cards because it was just amazing. It spiked itself. But for every Arclight that there is in Modern, you've got like 10 of those in EDH at the same time. And so it's a lot easier, in my opinion. Efren, this is actually back to your point. It's a lot easier to buy cards that are just good cards, and they're going to eventually find a home in EDH. And you mentioned Fist of Suns. It's a great example. I mean, it was a card that was bound to, you know, get better over time. And all of a sudden we get what, 3 5 color commanders, and bam, it's
five color card explodes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's the reason I focus there. That's why I've been focusing there. And I think this is the line in the sand where EDH really does become the premier investing, you know, MTG finance format to focus on.
Well, I got to ask you guys a question. So what do you think the reason is then to pitch this set as Modern? There's not been any clear reason that we can see that there hasn't been any cards that we could say, wow, Modern really needed this card. So is there something that's coming next week? We got another week of spoilers, or why not just embrace it and then call this Commander, or someone on Twitter called it Modern Legal Commander Horizons.
Yeah.
You know,
why would they not just go for it and say this is a Commander set?
I was thinking that myself, and I think I came to they normally, and we can kind of see, I kind of feel like they have been timid before when like this, and just my only gut reaction is that they didn't want to warp Modern. They wanted some, you know, couple key pieces that can help, and they should exist. You know, we talked about that on Sunday, that Force of Negation, it's good that that card exists, whether or not it works format, debated, or particularly high. So they wanted options. They wanted some cards that deal with specific things. And it was kind of in a weird spot in the design timeline. I just kind of think they were a little cautious. That's all I can really come up with.
I'm going to throw a completely different angle at this, and this is kind of just me thinking out loud, so I'd be curious what everyone thinks at this, but I would be surprised if some of these cards that have kind of just snuck under the radar for Modern purposes, where, you know, we're all sitting here and it's like one after the other, EDH, 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 and it turns out maybe one or two of these cards end up being really good in Modern, and we just don't realize it for one of a couple of reasons. One, because we're seeing a ton of cards all at once, and it's very overwhelming when you're thinking in Modern terms, like what's good, what's not, trying to evaluate cards. Look at Arclight Phoenix and how many people missed on that card and what it ended up becoming. That's the way I look at that. I would not be surprised, too, if there are some cards still to come, like the Planeswalker is supposed to be revealed tomorrow. Like I would not be shocked if that Planeswalker is excellent. Right. And that maybe that becomes one of the chase mythics of the entire set. And that, you know, is an example of a card that ends up not warping Modern, but making an impact there. Anyway, I kind of look at this from a different angle, and that we've only seen half the set. I still think there's time for cards to come out of this. I just think we probably all expected when you say Modern Horizons that if you're going to give us 150 cards or 250 cards, whatever it is, that some percentage of that, let's call it 25% even, are going to impact Modern in some meaningful way. And I don't think we're even close to that so far.
Yeah, I think that might be the case too. Maybe we're just missing something. Do you think it's the case with the new mocks? I'm hoping that's the case.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm going to lean towards no. I mean, we have cast that.
And it just does so much more, you know, it's in modern. Right.
I'm hoping that that one, because Mox Amber, nobody was really impressed with, and it gave people time to buy it when it was.
But it's still a zero mana Mox on the turn you.
Yeah. You know once it kind of flattens out, I'm going to be buying them, just hoping that somebody finds use for it.
I think if it was suspend two instead of suspend three, and you're getting it on that second turn, on it's a lot more impressive. But at I don't know.
I think folks are really going to try to push Urza.
I do too.
That is kind of one of the chase cards that I think for modern. They'll try to pursue it, see what ends up happening. I think a lot of the lands will have a lot of impact. I mean, they're there. They'll likely like how exciting that is. But we still have some stuff to come for sure. But I still am in the mindset of where I was. I think it's still going to be a majority of the set that wows people now that we know, like Commander, and we'll have, I even said it on Sunday, we'll have a handful of cards.
Well, it's going to keep going, right? Didn't they say we're going to see Ninja Tribal tomorrow or the next?
Ninja Tribal. Yep.
That doesn't sound like Ninja Tribal for Modern. It sounds like Ninja Tribal for
for Yuri. Make Commander 2018 finally worth something.
Yeah.
I have it. It's a UW Blink, blue black ninjas, red black goblins, red green lands and matter creature, green white, black white changeling, blue red draw two matters, black green graveyard stuff, red white slivers, and those are like the draft.
Those are the themes.
So we'll see. I mean, Guillaume brought up, there's definitely a couple things already. We have Aria Flame. The Accomplice, Trade Mage, Urza. I mean, we have some stuff. Some of the lands. Some folks really like the Ranger Captain of Eos. Are they modern defining? We'll see. But so that being said, Chris, now that we're kind of on the fact of a lot of this stuff is affecting, we've seen so much market move. Where do you think we can continue going? What should we prioritize longer term? Stuff that maybe is on the radar and can start picking up. Because we did have a couple of overlaps in terms of, five color commanders. We have Morophon, the balance. Weatherlight Captain, all five color stuff, different archetypes. Where do we go from here? I mean, Ayula, obviously that was some stuff.
I have a few thoughts. So first of all, Bear Tribal, I think is gimmicky. I think that's going to kind of go the way of, just quick hype, and then those cards are going to come back down to earth.
Sure.
I think someone asked me a really good question. Actually, I've had this question asked to me three different times in the last 2 days, related question, which was, are Feather and Niv-Mizzet Reborn from War of the Spark just forgotten things at this point, right? Because now we had all those things, all those commanders you just listed. Do they just supersede it and now, forget about Niv and Feather from War of the Spark in terms of the specs we made? Should we just try to bail on those? I don't think so. I think just to answer that question for a few folks, I think that those are still going to, have movement and drive movement. I think it's going to be slower than it would have been. But I think the offsetting piece here is that a lot of us were concerned with Modern Horizons that it was going to put focus on Modern and actually impact Modern, and it has not. It's actually driven a huge amount of brewing in EDH, which I personally thought, like this time last year, EDH had the spotlight entirely, if you remember, because Dominaria. I didn't think that was going to be the case this year. I thought it was going to be focused heavily on Standard and Modern. I think that's entirely, I was entirely wrong with that. And I think with how EDH Horizons, holy smokes, Modern Horizons panned out to be so EDH driven, it's going to drive a lot of, the rising tide type of mentality in EDH as a whole. To answer your question directly, Chaz, I think where I'm focusing is going to be on Tribal. We've talked a little bit about zombies going back because of War of the Spark. I think I could see happening here if you start to think about kind of just the, what do you include in tribal decks? Forget about the creature types that you're building around, but rather just what are the core cards to that? Things like Urza's Incubator, Cavern of Souls. I think Mike might have asked a question about Unclaimed Territory. That's a good example of a penny stock right now in foil. But anyway, I think those type of cards are going to really see a longer term lift, especially because several of those, the majority of those will either entirely dodge reprints over the next few months, or if they do get reprinted, it would theoretically be in a commander set where they would not have a foil variant. So anyway, that's where my head's at, or where my head's kind of going right now. It's generally spinning, but that's sort of my gut, I would say.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, I think that's probably a good direction to continue going. I mean, I just kind of feel like they really kind of push the envelope, the space that, like you said before, the space that they're trying to create here and more different archetypes to keep building towards. I mean, we already have some more additional moves based on the stream today or earlier today where they revealed the draft, the kind of, and there's already a couple interesting pickups to derive from those as well.
Which stream was that, Chaz? Sorry.
So it was what was it?
That Thursday stream that they normally do.
The Blake stream.
For yeah, today? I was looking for that graphic that has, and that's where we found out that ninjas are coming. Like, okay. I couldn't find the whole list.
Yeah, I missed that entire. That was the Twitch stream. Yeah, I missed that today. I only found out about it after the fact when Chaz, when you posted that graphic.
Yeah, and Counterspell is okay.
No,
So I mean, I think we're just going to continue to see some more movement by the time we're done. I mean, I don't know if I can continue the pace here because
it feels, you know, like we're going 100 miles an hour every day.
We really are. And I do. Well, I don't know if it's terms of, I don't think there's like fatigue in terms of the hype, because every single day it feels like, all right, or like, can this possibly keep moving needles? And they do. Folks,
I don't
are
think it can be
buying
as dynamic as the slivers was.
Yeah, my expenditure is definitely having some fatigue because it's crazy. I mean, I could, what I've spent so far, I can easily double that and continue stocking up on this. And I feel some stuff is, you know, I think you mentioned this, or Efren, we're seeing so many different things at the same time. Even Guillaume brought it up. Like, we're already over some of the like more interesting stuff, like Prismatic Vista. Sisay didn't really like got like kind of previewed late at night, which is why I really hate that they do that. But I get it because the times kind of sucks that like you're like print cards at like 10 o'clock or 1 o'clock at night or like 6 o'clock in the morning, the Japan content, that they don't get as much airtime because by the time people are like waking up and looking at stuff, it's already time for the, you know, North American stuff, like the 10:30 a.m. stuff to roll around, and then people totally forget that, like, oh wow, Sisay is like gonna, you know, be another like crazy like five code. I just think we're just gonna continue seeing some movement even after the fact. Like I even stash away a couple of the Legends stuff matter, and I feel like that's another area that folks didn't really pick up. That like,
yeah, I feel like that got glossed over. But once the cards start getting into people's hands, I think it'll pick up.
Yeah. I do think that will happen.
I know I'm going to try and build a Sisay deck, so I'm going to be picking some of them up myself.
Yeah. Trying to get through to some of these questions. I thought I saw... not a question, but a comment. Thanks for being above the... and not for the environment. The integrity, regardless of the pieces, it's why I stay. Yeah, you can look at what I posted in the rules chat. It's kind of where the team is at on that, and we just don't do that stuff here. I know it's like a meme, Efren, but we don't do that here. But I like that one, actually.
Yeah, me
too. but yeah, we don't really need to go further than that. We just kind of like de-escalate.
Yeah, there are places you can do that. You can go do that in other places, but not here.
Yeah, go do that in another place, but we don't do that. It's kind of like my trademark stuff. It's kind of like my trademark line when this stuff kind of it's so funny. Also, I don't know if we have. Yeah, we've only been on for like 35 minutes. Where are we on Oathbreaker? I feel like this is going to come up. Someone's eventually going to ask it. I know, like, we've been having a couple conversations. They kind of spiral out, like, and go in circles here. I think my stance is: look, I try to get in on the hype on this kind of stuff. A handful of stuff may spike. Fine, if you want to invest in that, go ahead, by all means. Just know to tread very lightly there, because for every card you think may spike, you know, it just may not. I just don't think the number of cards that's going to drastically from something like that is going to be very high.
But you need somebody to sell those cards to. And
yeah, I mean,
exactly,
okay,
opposite of EDH, where EDH has this huge swath of players wanting to play. Nobody even knows what Oathbreaker is.
Yeah, and, you know, kudos to the folks that are making content on it, and if they're really that, like, stoked about it, great. But I don't see this lasting. I really don't. It's like every other time, and I heard the same thing over and over.
Even with Brawl, the story was, well, this time Wizards is pushing it.
Yeah, but so it's like the stick. Same sales. Yeah, pitch.
They couldn't even keep that one in.
Same sales pitch over and over, the same dialogue over and over. Every time it's the same result. And I'm just like, you know what? You do what you want. It's your money. I don't personally advise going into it. You know, people are not buying into Modern Horizons cards for sure, I'll tell you that.
That's right. Earlier, I don't remember who brought it up in General Finance or in the Discord. Someone I know asked the question. And so I just wanted to ping some of my, you know, friends from the various play groups and folks that I interact with about EDH, and you know, they're actually wonderful, because that's a huge shout out to them, because a lot of the times when I'm calling cards, it's because they're already talking about them in our play group. But anyway, I pinged a few of them, and one of them responded with this. He said, Oathbreaker is a fad. It's interesting, but I feel the format will be over optimized way too quickly. Flash in the pan like Brawl. I'm just touching on the highlights here. And then he said, I think we're going to see 1 to 3 optimized decks, which will always win, and then it'll peter out, and that will be it. So basically, and I tend to agree with that. You know, there's already been talk about what's the most, like, let's break Oathbreaker. And then somebody goes, oh, let's go Jason, the new Jace with Paradigm Shift. And basically, like, on turn 3, you can put your entire deck into your graveyard and just win the game. And it's like, oh, well, that was a fun game. Let's
do it. Like, oh,
thing happened with Brawl. They had to ban stuff right away.
Right.
Yeah. People saw the format immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. War of the Spark, Narset, Windfall.
Right. Exactly. So I mean, so here's the question: Are you gonna try to solve the format by banning a bunch of stuff? Because that's fun. Like that. I don't think it's gonna be a legit thing. I think, you know, be very cautious if you want to spec on. I don't even know what you would spec on, but if you did, you know, be cautious on it, because Efren, your point is exactly right. You have to have people to sell cards to for them to actually go up in price, and I just don't see it. So
no, there's a couple comments in chat. I do agree. So Fit of Brewing Tier 0 format in a few weeks dies. That isn't too different from EDH. No. Oathbreaker is nowhere even close to Commander. Wait, no, Commander is not. It's not too vastly.
Yeah.
Vastly.
Not only that, but it started differently. Right. Oathbreaker, you have some content creators really pushing it and try to force it on everybody. But
yeah.
Right.
Commander kind of grew on its own, and everyone was forced to recognize it.
That's right.
Firstly, the deck construction. There's no like weird like interactions with like the Oathbreaker and then like the signature spell crap. Like that, it's just a totally completely different beast.
I don't know.
It's established. It's established. It's well. You know. It's obviously designed around from the top down in Wizards. Obviously, we're seeing that in EDH or Modern Horizons, what you want to call it, at this point. But you know, I would be very, very, very surprised. I'm like, I'd be 99% sure that we will never see design based on Oath.
I'm gonna say 2 points about it, and then I think I'm got my 2 cents out. But we're getting an echo, by the way. I'm not sure where that's coming from. No worries. Point one, if you want to play a commander, a planeswalker as a commander, either one of two things. You need to talk to your play group, and they may or may not approve, right? Depends on how broken it is. Or two, you can play one of the, dozen or so that already exists, like Teferi's Temporal Archmage, for example. That's the way I see it. And then two, Magic Wizards has already designed commanders explicitly to allow them to be planeswalkers as commanders. They wrote it on those cards intentionally. They did it with 4 of them last summer, which I actually think is what really drove this whole question in the first place, is, you know, can I start doing this with other cards? There's plenty of play groups out there who will already allow that, and there's really no need for a whole nother format that basically does the same thing. Anyway, I don't know. That's kind of my sense.
Mark Rosewater himself said the same thing. He said, it's casual format. Just ask your friends if you can play with a commander.
Right. Yeah.
Now, and I get it. Listen, if you genuinely enjoy it, and whether it lasts or doesn't last, it's prerogative. I'm not trying to like bash the format. I'm looking at it purely from a financial sense, where I don't feel confident enough and, you know, and confidence in the format as a vehicle for you all to invest a ton of money. Because I just don't, you know, maybe a handful of cards increase. And if you manage to pick those cards, great. I know some folks are definitely trying to defend the format. I'm not trying to like come at it where, and you know, bash the format and say like, I'm not trying. So if you feel that I'm trying to do that, I'm not. Like Mimo or whatever. Someone in the chat, you know, Mimo, brought up that it was created by now what I learned, a very on the up
charity.
Charity. Mm-hmm. You know, some of our insiders know these folks very well. They're all on the up and up. If you want, you know, go and donate to the charity like that. I love that angle. Or yeah.
Well, they're 501c, so they're a legit charity. But
yeah, if you want to go spec, quote unquote, I mean, I would definitely come at it with the pretense and suggestion that if you make any proceeds off of the format, you should kick back a charity. I'd feel really scummy to, you know, like ambulance chase a new format and like try to like pick on all the, you know, stuff that spikes and then just keep all the money themselves. Where they're trying to do like a legitimate thing for charity. That just feels really wrong.
I didn't even realize it was for charity.
Yeah.
Well, they're the ones that created it.
If you don't want to spec on it, consider donating. You should just do it. If you are, I would very much suggest that you donate a percentage back to the charity, because it just doesn't feel right to, you know, invest on all this card on those cards. Those cards spike, and you just keep all the proceeds. That's just my take. If you don't feel the same way, that's fine. But that's take.
No, I feel similarly, Chaz. And I would just say, if you're going to spec on Oathbreaker, you're probably better off just specking on EDH and then getting some overlap with Oathbreaker, as opposed to. I think there's going to be very few cards in Oathbreaker that don't.
Yeah. I mean, meanwhile, look at all the action that's happening with Commander. You know, that money,
right.
Unless you have infinite amount of money to invest in everything, you could have, you know, made money with that stuff you had sitting in Oathbreaker specs on Commander stuff.
And I just think it's on the low. It's the lowest part of the totem for me, totally. Because we have EDH Horizon and all this stuff that's going on. And then right around the corner, we have like Core 2020 again.
Yeah. If it survives and it becomes a real format, then, you know, next year, the year after, you can make money on it. But
In Shark Tank, when people come in and they don't have any sales, they always say it's too early. That's what I would say here.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks after Horizon's release.
That's when spoilers start for Core?
I believe that's right.
Wow. They're packing them in.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It really is.
It's ridiculous. So let's get to some consideration. Chris, I think you know, we've been throwing up short lists on pretty much everything that comes across our desk. I think efficient so far. I believe I have this feeling that ultimately a lot of that stuff will end up being relevant. Like the Cisse stuff will start coming around. That hasn't been as hot yet. Like not as much as like the Bear stuff, which because folks are selling the stuff in the same day. I think it may lag behind a little bit. Also because like Morophon was kind of one of the signature first mythics. It was spoiled early. It was previewed early on. It had a lot of applications. And again, I just think like Cisse was just one of those things where they kind of previewed it, and then everyone was like, "Oh yeah, cool. Oh, okay, cool." But I don't think they really realized that it has a lot of implications. So, do you have any considerations this week?
There's only one. It's Mana Geo. It's the common from War of the Spark. The foils themselves are already in low supply. It's just a card to watch. It's basically an upgrade. I think it taps three, draws a card, and taps for any one of any color. If you look at the four or mores on TCG Player and foil, there's only a couple available. That's my only one. It's also just, it's a Scry one. Thank you. Good call. Not draw. But yeah, that one's just a card I'm kind of watching. It's a penny stock too. But I think it's the type of common in foil that could go, you know, you could get in around $1 and eventually buy a list out for $3 or $4 over time.
That's that's more of a from stuff that we saw that we're seeing now, or that's been on.
It's on my radar because of all five colors. I think it's a great budget variety type card.
Wasn't there a couple of the? I feel like we get almost like at rare, like every command. What was the last one? It was like
This one was basically just a direct upgrade to Manolith, which I think came out in one of the Ravnica sets. Maybe it was a little earlier. It might have been like Hour of Devastation. But the other card that's interesting along the same lines from War of the Spark is Firemind's Vessel. It's basically the same thing. I think it's a 4-mana, if I'm not mistaken. 4-mana comes into play tapped, and then you can tap it for 2 of any color, which is pretty awesome. It's also a common, and that one, both of these, Mana Geode and Firemind's Vessel, are in foil in relatively low supply. I think they're only like 4 or 5 pages on TCG Player. So just cards to consider for all the 5-mana. They're good budget options for all the 5-mana stuff that's going out there.
I can't remember this. It's like Crystalline Crawler or some shit. Damn, I cursed. Crystalline Crawler. I like that one. Is that like not? Is that like pretty low on? Like, would you rate that lower than Mana Geode? Like, I thought there was some hype around.
No, that one's an interesting one, actually.
I know there was another one in like. I remember there was explicitly like some pretty decent like hype around the crawler. It was like it started at like pretty cheap, and I remember it like kind of like had this little mini spike, if I'm not mistaken.
It might have. The fact that it goes with 1/1 counters is great with proliferate, so I could see that.
Coveted. I think it was a judge. It was like an artifact that had like these crystals on it. Damn, I cannot remember this card. Dark Intimation. No, that's not it. Oh, man. I'm blanking. I believe it was a judge promo not too recently. It was like, it's an artifact. It's like it has these crystals on it. I think it adds like, yeah, Prismatic Geoscope. There we go. Excellent land. Is that one? That one's kind of.
Yeah, that one's off my radar. The fact that it's good. So, I don't know. I mean, so, actually, it's interesting.
Like,
with
if you had to rate them, is it? It's geode crystal. Like, are we giving more of a priority to?
I won't comment necessarily on Crystalline Crawler. It was actually off my radar until you just mentioned it. Mana Geode and Firemind's Vessel, I just have been monitoring the stock on both of those, and they're selling really well. Actually, Mana Geode was like at one point like the 4th best selling card. I think it was as recent as last week on TCG Player. So I mean, I've been kind of watching those. It's only likely to drain even more because they're just really good mana rock options with all the 5-color stuff because they give you that flexibility. So Firemind's Vessel to me is just a better version of Hedron's Archive, which is the one that's 4-mana. It doesn't come into play tap, but it comes in play and it's basically taps for 2 colorless, which anyway.
And there's way too many printing.
Oh yeah.
I think that one's
yeah, Commander okay, Sphere has so been printed a ton.
That is not good.
All right. Probably be in the
Efren, is there or did you have anything else, Chris?
No. That's it.
So is that foil specifically?
Foil specifically. Yeah, sorry, let me clarify. I haven't these are just cards that I'm, you know, kind of watching. So I wouldn't recommend just like running out and grabbing them. But Geode is a foil that I'm considering like roughly $1. I think if you can get them under $1 for foil, that's a really good spot. Fireman's Vessel, probably a little bit more than that. You're probably looking closer to $2. It is an uncommon. And I think actually Fireman's Vessel is maybe even better than Mana Geode overall. But yeah, both of those are just ones that I'm watching. And I'm waiting for the next wave of War of the Spark to come out before I would touch those, just because I think there's going to be another big wave. I think more boxes are going to get opened, and plus you've got MTGO Redemption coming as well. So,
Did you answer this explicitly? Do you think Sisay will have more of an influence than?
But I absolutely do. I think it's just kind of lost. It's lost in the midst of all the things that have happened.
Continue to. Totally. Keep that very much on the
record. Yeah. I think that one and Morophon are going to both have some serious implications. I think everybody's just digesting everything. It's easy for people to see Sliver and go buy Sliver. It's easy for people to see Bears and go buy Bears. It's not easy to go look at Sisay or Morophon and figure out what you want to build with those. That's the way I would explain that.
Fair. Efren, did you have anything that you're looking at this?
I'm still looking at exactly what you guys were just talking about. A lot of the legend stuff that didn't kind of pop because everything just kind of went so fast. Like Primeval's Glorious Rebirth, you can still get them for $3 and less in foil. So I'm still looking for stuff to go along with Sisse. But aside from that, you know, everything's been accelerating so quickly here. It's a little bit frustrating because a lot of stuff that I'm like, you know, I'm going to buy a couple of foil Jodas every week for the next year instead on them. And then I don't get much time to accumulate them before they pop.
Yeah, it's been Joda incredible.
Joda was like, I was acquiring those, I think, at like 9, just not even more than like 4 weeks ago. And here they are selling for 15.
I just started too. I had like 6 of them. I was like, I'm just going to buy one or two a week. And then.
Yeah, I mean, the Joda became super relevant. It's like, I know folks have been selling foils pretty steadily at like $18.
Yeah, I think I paid like $380 for mine or something.
Still hot on Dragons.
I didn't even know this card existed.
I put myself on mute. I actually was not. Dragon Arch is one of those cards for me that I'm like surprised. I always think it's going to be better than it is. I've played this card. I have copies of this card. I don't know what the ceiling is on it or if there needs to be a ceiling. I actually liked Dragon Arch because of Niv-Mizzet Reborn. That's probably the card that, or the commander that I think would have been the best. Yeah, Biospark just mentioned that I mentioned this card for Niv. I still like it in that setting. I'm not sure how much Niv is going to take off. And so Dragon Arch just feels a little deep at this point. Nice thing is it's an old foil. I mean, it's Apocalypse. It's the old foil. So the downside is probably pretty low in that sense.
Yep. Judging from what I've seen, I think we're going to see a lot of stuff that even the last few days, like, you know, Thopter Sword, like Sword definitely took off. I think Thopter Foundry follows suit. It creeping up on the pages. There was one that you kept kind of talking about, Chris, and it's pretty much gone at this point. So it's like your final chance to buy in. And it's one that I think we talked about for a while ago. Good right now. This filter.
Yeah, I've been selling those like crazy, actually. I wrote about it.
It's like filter. Isn't
yeah, it's Urza's filter. And what it does is it's 4 mana and it reduces multicolored spells by 2. But it's for everybody. Yeah. It hits everybody. I wrote about it just, I think it was just last week when the article went live. For Niv, actually. And at that point, you could buy them for 75 cents for like near mint and lightly played.
They've been, selling pretty hard. They're still like kind of stuck at like that $3 to $4 mark. I know Bio said sold one for $8. I think that was direct, right?
Yeah, he sold one for $8 direct and let me know that he did. I was excited to see that.
Crazy.
I've been consistently, if you go out to the page, you'll see my stores right out there. I'm at $349 and I'd have to check my records. I want to say I'm approaching 30 copies at this point. It's a card that I've had. It's kind of one of those like pet cards that I've had. I started playing in Invasion, so I've actually accrued this card for like 20 years. So it's kind of nice to actually start moving them finally.
Yeah, it's a one printing Invasion. There was not a lot of a card out there already, and I think it's kind of like a last chance. It's not really my consideration, but I think it was printed to kind of put that out there. Yeah, listen, folks, it's been a wild ride, and you know. Buckle in because I don't think it's going to stop. For the next week. We're just going to keep driving at 100 miles an hour, and we're not stopping. So if you think you think it's slowing down, it's not. You know, take a little pit stop, grab a Red Bull or whatever, and just keep grab some really bad gas station food because we're taking right back off. It's intent like crazy. I don't know how much more I can take. In terms of, I mean, you know, it's nice that some of the TCG stuff, I mean, it's real. Wait, just a mini tangent. Like, I don't know how you all do it. I mean, I sell on TCG Player. It's nice and everything. But it really sucks to, like, wait almost, like, a month sometimes. I don't know how you all do it. I mean, I know, like, the direct.
I mean, yeah, that's why I prefer crazy, eBay or like, sending cards.
What is going on with
me? It's really ridiculous. Archaic. I don't know why.
It's ridiculous. Like I see, like sometimes, like it'll pop up in my my email that like there's like a transfer, and this is stuff that I sold a month ago.
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys doing?
No, they just they accrue their interest. I mean, it's
ridiculous.
Yeah, they accrue their interest while they're holding
you guys money. Don't make enough on fees. Come on. anyway, mini rant over. So it's good that some of that stuff is dropping at an opportune time. But I really don't know how much I've been spending. So what I will say with that, the last card that I feel like I will go in on, and it will make my consideration for this week, is Yuriko with the ninja stuff. I mean, confirmed. We're going into it. I think it's time to revisit this card. This card was selling for nearly what, like $3, $25. It was yeah, a lot.
I remember I that was a pre-order one I did last year.
That was a pre-order that a they were lot selling
like, yeah. I was selling for like $23 each.
It showed up in Legacy at one point.
Yuriko is the last card that I purchased. I got in on 8 of them. I think it's due for with.
Now there's a chance that it could be in the set, right? Because it's not modern legal.
No, ooh, that's a good point. It can't be Commander.
Well, that's true.
They're not going to print that. I mean, maybe in an anthology, but which is like probably a whiles away.
It seems like they skipped this year. It would have already been out by now.
Yeah, it's so we're safe. I think Yuriko probably mid to high teens by.
Yeah, that's a really cool card.
Yeah, I don't think a card in the set will overshadow this. You know, obviously we'll see. I think it's probably the best commander for the tribe. And even if it does get by some means overshadowed, the only way I see it getting overshadowed is that they printed a ninja with more colors in it. And, you know, that's always better because you like to make more colors. But this is still an auto, like 100% auto.
For anyone that wants to add cards to your watch list or your cart for tomorrow as the spoilers come in on Ninja, I actually made a fairly large order with Card Kingdom heading into tomorrow's spoilers, and I threw a screenshot of that in actionable purchasing earlier today. It's basically a bunch of cards that if you were to look on EDHREC for EDHREC for ninjas, these are I would say virtual auto includes. I personally think they should be. Obviously, that doesn't mean that everyone does, but they're cards that will show up in that like rogue. Dealing combat damage to players setting. So,
all right, folks, any last questions? Because we are going to wrap it up. We're at about 50 minutes. How do we feel about Dimir Key?
That's an interesting one. The fact that I think you can, I believe that's the one where you can turn it into an unblockable for one blue, one black, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it only has one foil printing. I don't really have any research on that one, but that's a good call out. It's a card I recognize for sure.
That'd be amazing if a key rune became actual.
Right. the idea with a
ninja, I got so many of those.
The idea with the ninja build in general is you want as many unblockables as you can get, and then you obviously Commander Ninjutsu in, and so it's certainly a card that a really versatile card because it's a mana ramp and a unblockable when you need it. So I like that call. That's an interesting one.
Last call for question. Yeah, look, Efren, Chris, I think this was a really good discussion. It's been nuts, and I'm really glad we had the discussion of, and I think we're even entering new territory along with EDH Horizon that I really do think every other format is going to start taking a backseat, or for a lot of different, can listen back to the podcast, re-listen to our thoughts on that, but I'm just getting that feeling, you know, as these sets continue to progress, Dominaria started the trend, I believe. And I think Modern Horizons, you're absolutely right in saying that, Chris, that we're going to look back on this set. This is really where the turning was, that paper is now going, you know, commander territory.
Yep. We drew that line in the sand, I think, with Modern Horizons. Who knew?
Yeah.
Maybe they meant modern rearview mirror. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it really does help. I had the thought about MTG Arena, and I'm going with that thought that it certainly does help the advent of MTG Arena and how much more eyeballs and how much playing it, and that it's certainly helping Commander kind of take over the papers.
Yep. Efren, do you want to throw that one last point in there? That's a
Just look on TCG Player. They're really thin on that Dimir Key rune that Nir just pointed out. There's only 12 listings, and most of them are not buyable because they're 50-cent shipping and 86-cent card. So until the new shipping rules go in place, you can't even purchase them.
Is that
so? Nearman Foils on Dimir Key rune are really thin.
Is that normal copies? What about foils?
For those are foils. I'm talking about Nearman Foils.
Oh,
yeah, good all find, right. Very good find, Mutineer.
Yeah, great. That's gonna be it, folks. thanks for joining in. I know Efren, Chris, thank you so much for joining in. I know, great discussion. We're going to be back soon for a follow-up, probably another insider Discord exclusive cast to you covering craziness. I mean, it really is crazy. But thank you, folks. We will see you soon, and good night. Good night.
Thanks, Efren. Guys. Good night. Have a good long weekend, everyone. Bye.
Yep.
It's a-
Take care.